Would you turn, please, now in your Bibles to John's Gospel, chapter 5. The Gospel of John, chapter 5. We're going to read from verse 24 down to 31. The Lord Jesus Christ is speaking, and he says, "Verily, verily." The word actually is "truly, truly," or "amen, amen." "I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true." And the Lord bless his word to our hearts now. Please, let's bow in a brief word of prayer. Lord, we have now before us thy holy word, and we have words that are profound. We have words that are so special, so pure and true, that if a man or woman take them to their heart, they will be life, and not just physical, but eternal life. I'm asking, Lord, that it might please thee as we consider today simple gospel message, that the word of the Lord will be fastened to every heart. Help me, I pray, to speak the word of the Lord with clarity. Help us not to be distracted or confused. Don't let minds wander off to other things. But Lord, keep us, we pray, and give us a hearing ear, an understanding heart. For we ask all this for the glory and honor and in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. From death to life everlasting is the title of my word to you today. From death to life everlasting. You will know if you've been attending our fellowship time for any period
We are studying the life of the Lord. In the last couple of weeks, we have been in John chapter 5, and this account given to us in the chapter is only recorded here in the Gospels. The account of the Lord dealing with this man who came to the pool of Bethesda, but he could not get himself into the pool when it was troubled by the angel, for he had no friend, no helper, no one to aid him. And the Lord Jesus didn't come to help him into the pool that day, but he came to deliver him and to heal him with a word. He did not touch this man this time, but he spoke the word. And the man was healed, and he got up from his crippled position where he had been for 38 years, and he took his bed and he went on his way home, where he was then accosted by the Jewish authorities because it was the Sabbath day, and in their mind he had broken the Sabbath. And the man testified to those inquirers, "I don't know who it was that healed me. I don't know his name. But the same man that healed me is the man that told me to take up my bed and walk." And later the Lord Jesus met this man in the temple, and he warned him, "Go thy way and sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you." And he went back to the Jews, not of malice, but he then informed them, "It was Jesus. He's the man who healed me." And they sought therefore to kill him, not only because he had done this on the Sabbath day, which was in their mind a breaking or a defiling of the Sabbath, which it was not, but they thought it was. And they then also sought to kill the Lord Jesus because he had made himself God, as he declared to be the Son of God. When they confronted Jesus with their complaints and concerns and threats, Jesus then began to show them and to unfold to them in some of the most profound words the wonders of his divinity, the wonders of his relationship to his Father, and really who he was. And in the course of the Savior's presentation of who he was, of his divine nature, and of his connection with the Father and the great Trinity of their persons, he said these words in verse 24. And these words are my text today. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." Oh, my friend, as we consider the heart of the gospel message, and as we think of these words that Jesus spoke, I want to present them to you this morning. I pray that God would deal with the heart of anyone here who has never surrendered their life to Christ, who does not know him as their own personal Savior. Oh, friend, you've been in gospel service, maybe after gospel service. You have heard the word spoken over and over again, but at this point in time, you're not a believer. Something is holding you back. Something is pulling you away from Christ. What is it today? Oh, my friend, that you would surrender and submit your heart to him. Oh, as we think about the wonders of our great Savior, you know what he declared to the Jews at that time? That he was Lord, not only of heaven and earth, but he was the Lord of the Sabbath as well. He declared his relationship to his Father, and he proved that I and my Father are one. And he also demonstrated that the power of God was the power given to him. And along with that power came the honor of the Father, and that all judgment the Father had placed in the hands of His Son, the power to give life, the power to reveal the thoughts and the hearts of men, the honor that was to follow. You know, in the middle of the very verses that we have read today, the words of Christ and the power that He has within His Word will be demonstrated on that judgment day when He will call all that are in the grave to come forth. And the marvelous truth of that great, stupendous miracle of gathering all from the graves to stand before Him at that judgment day, from the very smallest to the greatest, what an event this will be. And yet, my dear friend, in the middle of that discourse, the Lord Jesus gives a gospel invitation. He gives the word that will give life. And He says that whosoever will believe in Him, in His Father that has sent Him, will be able to pass from death into life, and life that is eternal. Please notice in the first place that, my friend, you must hear the word of Christ. You must hear the word of Christ. Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say unto you, he that heareth my word." What does the gospel mean when it's saying about hearing my word? This is much more than simply listening to the words that Jesus spoke. There were many in His day, you know, that heard audibly the words of Christ, and yet they went on to reject Him. And I would say to you today that there are many, even in this congregation or listening online today, and you have heard the Word of God, but up to this point, you have not heard the Word of Jesus to your heart. You see, when Christ said, "He that heareth my word," it was something that penetrated deeper than just the surface. It's something that was much more than just an audible sound. It was something that went to the inner man. It is a hearing that makes the heart ready to receive the Lord Jesus. It is a hearing that makes a man or a woman ready to embrace Christ as their own. Moses said that God would raise up a prophet like unto himself. And you know what Moses said? He said, "The people will hearken unto him." They will listen unto him. They will hear his words. And the prophet that has been ordained by God, the one who has come to reveal the great truth of salvation, he has come to us today. And he has spoken his word. And I wonder, friend, have you heard the word of God in your heart? This hearing is not just saying, "Well, I believe there is a God." That might be fine, and it's good for you to acknowledge there is a God and not call yourself in foolishness an atheist. For the question is, does God believe in atheists? The fact is that a man might say, "Well, I believe in God," but yet they have never heard the word of Jesus. Do you know that the devils believe in God also, and they tremble? No, my dear friend, today, there is something much more than this. It's more than a religious duty. It's more than just church attendance. It's more than just hearing the splash of water or the sprinkling of water upon you when you were baptized. It's not that kind of hearing. But it is the repenting of your sin and the submitting of your heart to the obedience of the will of God. You will only hear the voice of Christ from His revealed and holy Word. Sometimes people talk about seeing visions or having dreams, or some people say, well, God spoke to me, or I heard a voice speaking to me. My friend, I would say to you, you are far more advised to listen to the Word of Christ that is spoken from His Word, the revealed truth of God. This is where you will hear and know about Jesus. It is right in this very revelation that God has given. Because the Word of Christ, my friend, it is a powerful word. The prophet said, is not thy word like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? The Word of Christ, when it comes to the heart of someone, it is able to break the hardened resistance that is inside all of us naturally and because of our sin. And when the Word of Christ is received by faith in your soul, my friend, you will see it comes with great power to you. And it's able to change us from the inside out, because the Word of God is not just powerful, but it's penetrating. The Apostle Paul tells us in Hebrews that the Word of God is alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And it's able to pierce or divide asunder between the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The Word of God is penetrating. But you know, the Word of Christ Jesus, it is a convicting word. Because when you receive and you hear the Word of Christ to your heart, that word will come to convict you of the sins whereby you have offended a holy God. And all of us have broken the law of the Lord. We have offended the Lord in all points. And yet the Lord Jesus Christ did not offend the Lord in any point. He is the holy, the harmless, the undefiled Lamb of God. And as He comes to present Himself through His Word, He is the breath of God, the very Word incarnate, brought down and revealed to us today. My friend, His Word to us is a powerful Word. It will penetrate the heart. It will come to convict us of sin. And then, thank God, His Word is a converting Word. Because it's able to bring you out of your darkness and into the light of life. Have you tasted today of the goodness of God? Have you yourself received the Lord? Have you heard His Word in your heart? The devil does not want you to hear. And the devil has his fingers in your ears right now, and he's stopping the sound of God's truth coming in. And oh, I pray that you would receive the free gift of salvation and receive that word and that message that the Lord and the Spirit brings to you today. Jesus said this, "He that heareth my word." And I want you to notice in the second place, that in order to receive this eternal life, you must believe, you must have faith in God. That seems like rather a general statement, but look what Jesus said. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me. He is saying, if you receive my words, and you believe on God and in the Father who has sent me, then you will have everlasting life. You see, in the next chapter of John's Gospel, in 6 and 47, Jesus said something very similar. He said, "He that believeth on me hath everlasting life." And so I say to you that when Christ presented this truth and said, unless you believe in the Father, you cannot be saved, what he was saying, that believing in God the Father and believing in me are virtually the same thing. Because if we come to God and believe that He is who He says He is, and if we believe that the words of Christ that He spoke are the true words of God for Him saying, I have come to do the will of my Father. And what He has given me to do, I have come to do, and the words He has given me, I have spoken to you. Therefore, when God said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, and everything that the Son has done and will do, I am pleased with. The one who honors me will honor the Son. And the one who honors the Son will honor the Father. And the one who is receiving the words of Christ will receive the words of the Father. Therefore, my friend, today, now, as you will believe in God the Father, you will believe in Christ. They are one and the same thing. Listen to what J.C. Ryle said. He said, the belief spoken of in this believing on God is in Christ. In this sense, the Father is just as much the object of saving faith as the Son. Listen to the words of 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 21. It says, who by Him do believe in God by Christ, that raised Him up from the dead and gave Him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. And so we don't separate the two. When we say to someone, you must believe in Jesus in order to be saved, we're not saying you must believe in Jesus in isolation from believing in the Father. You cannot separate the two. And the Lord made this very, very clear. When you come to receive the Lord Jesus, you are receiving the Father. And if you receive the Father, you are receiving the Son. The gospel that invites sinners to believe in Christ for salvation is the same gospel that invites sinners to believe in the Father who is well pleased with His only begotten Son. Friend, have you believed today? Have you heard the words of Jesus to your heart? I want you to notice, thirdly, that you will receive eternal life. Please look at our verse again. He that heareth my word and believeth on Him that sent me hath everlasting life. What a promise! How can we, with our feeble human words and our expressions, and what we have in us as just human beings full of sin, how can we convey this truth? Do you realize what Jesus is saying here? That, friend, you will be given the gift of everlasting life. That you will be given something that the devil does not want you to have. That you'll be given something that no man, no church, no organization could ever give you. You will be given the gift of life. An everlasting life. For the person who believes in God through Jesus has been forgiven of their sin. It is your sin that has separated you from God. It is your sin, my friend, that keeps you out of the presence of God. For nothing that is unclean or impure can come into God's presence. You must have your sin washed away. You must have your sin cleansed away. And the gift that God has promised to you, as we read in John 3, verse 16, is the gift of eternal life to everyone who believes and receives the Lord Jesus. You see, the person who believes in God through Christ has been forgiven of their sin, and they are no longer under condemnation. Think about this for a moment. If you are not a believer in Christ now, if you're not saved, the Bible tells us that you are right now under the condemnation of God. You're under His judgment. As a matter of fact, his judgment will fall upon you if you are to die in your sin. And if God's judgment falls upon you, then friend, you are lost for time and eternity. You are cast off into hell. There is no hope of recovery ever. You are under now, presently, the judgment of God if you are not a Christian. But the great and glorious truth of this gospel message that Jesus is saying, that you have been given everlasting life. You have been removed from condemnation. Indeed, as Paul said in Romans 8 and 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. If you're in Christ today, you're in the Spirit. You've been removed from that place of judgment that is rightly ours because of our sin. And why have you been removed? Why has that judgment been taken away from sinners that rightly deserve it? It is because, my friend, the wrath of God that should have descended upon every sinner, do you know where it descended? It came down not upon me, not upon you who are saved today, but it came down upon His only begotten Son. And yes, God stopped the hand of Abraham that was ready to plunge the knife into his son Isaac. But no one stopped the hand of God from letting his judgment descend upon his only begotten Son for sinners. For while we were yet sinners, Christ has died for us. Kathleen Vick wrote this hymn, "No condemnation now, I am at peace. I am no longer God's enemy, for the blood of the Lamb of God purchased my release from the prison of sin's captivity. He died for me, He died for me. My sin in its enormity was canceled for eternity. He bore the wrath of God for me. No condemnation waits for me. Oh, sing my soul, thou art free, and free indeed." And the chorus, "Oh, judgment day, when souls are tried, His blood will shout, justified. My soul can rest with certainty and glory in the Lamb of God." Are you free today, friend, from the condemnation and guilt of your sin? Are you free from the judgment and wrath of God that has been placed upon sinners? Oh, I invite you this morning. I say to you with all the earnestness of the Word of God, and I beseech you by Christ Jesus and on His authority, hear His word. Receive Him today, for you will have the gift of everlasting life. And then the joy of the Lord will flood and fill your heart. And you'll notice something that we're told here in this text. It says that you will have everlasting life. It's not something that will be given in the future. And so you're always wondering, well, do I or don't I? Will I have a seat to sit down on when the music stops? No, friend, there's no uncertainty here. Jesus has said you will have everlasting life. And it's the present tense. And having everlasting life means that I know now that I am already seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. When the judgment day comes, and every one of us will stand before the judgment seat of Christ, but those who have been covered by the blood of the Lord Jesus, there is no condemnation brought against us. We are free from that. But those who do not have that covering of the Lord, friend, you will stand that day to give account for your own sin. Remember, judgment is hanging over you now. I pray that you will come this day, this very day, and know the truth of what Jesus spoke when he said in the very last phrase of this text, they will not come into condemnation, but they are passed from death unto life. It is a very significant point that is given here that you may not clearly see in the English, but it means that you are passed out of death and into life. So you've moved from one station and one position. God has taken you out of the place of your condemnation. He's lifted you out of that death, and he's placed you into the life and the joy and the peace of Christ forever and ever. We today are in him. And if you're in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have no fear of death. Friend, today I exhort you and I say, flee from the wrath that is to come. Flee to Christ. Come to him. You will find that he is open to receive you here today. He is open that you might know the joy and the peace of the Lord Jesus in your hearts. Let's bow, please, in prayer. Dear Father, I pray that thy holy word, the word that Jesus spoke, would be attached to every heart today. I pray, Lord, that we would rejoice with joy that is unspeakable because we know our sins have been forgiven and we know we have a home in heaven. Lord, speak on to those that have not trusted the Savior yet, that we might rejoice in all thy so great salvation. Hear our prayers now, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing a hymn in closing. It's, you have to use your hymnal now. It's number 335. The words will not be on the screen. Number 335. And can it be that I should gain an interest in the Savior's blood? Died he for me who caused his pain, for me who him to death pursued. Number 335. Let's stand to sing. I certainly want to draw your attention to the final verse, because it says, no condemnation now I dread. Jesus and all in him is mine. Alive in him, my living head, and clothed in righteousness that is divine. We'll sing verses 1, 3, and 5.
Thank you.
Father, part us now in thy fear and with thy rich blessing. Please write thy holy word upon every heart. Bring us back again to thy house tonight, looking for and expecting thy blessing and presence with us. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.